Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, presented by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Also streaming on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Right now, talking college football, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Nate texting in on FanDuel. The line is Florida plus 14.5. Right now, I'd lay that with them being at home. The Gators haven't been impressed yet, but something tells me this could be a closer game in the swamp than people think. Joe Rexroad, convince me that Florida has any shot whatsoever to hang in with this game against Alabama.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So I'm looking at this, and I for some reason I read minus 14.5, and so I was like, wait, there's already lines on next week? I can't convince you that. I can tell you that Dolly Parton Jolene is number 63. I can't convince
you.
Yeah, great song, great song.
Thank you.
I can't convince you that that this will be a great game. I'd love to think so. And going into the season, I thought, man, it's interesting, like crowds back this year. Does that make them even more impactful?
We had Spurrier on. He's looking forward to it.
Spurrier was very excited. And I was excited, too. I don't like what I've seen from Florida. Now, granted, we know teams change during a season, and they could rise up and have a great performance. But I think you have to have a ready-for-NFL-level quarterback to even have a chance against this Alabama team. I understand now. They've had injuries on defense. Christian Harris, that's a big loss on defense. I still think it's a great defense, a great offensive line. And, I mean, I was going back and forth with my buddy, Bama grad and panicky fan Vince Ellis yesterday, who's like, oh, we're going to lose a game or two. And I was like, dude, just stop it. I mean,
is that the most annoying type of college football fan today? Like an Alabama fan's like, oh, yeah, we might. There's at least one, maybe two losses on the schedule this year. Is there?
Yeah, I know. It's like, okay, just stop it. You know, he's like, well, what, you think that the receivers? No, of course it's a drop-off when you have veteran receivers who are great and are already making plays in the NFL, but I bet you these guys turn out okay. And I'm thinking Bryce Young is going to be pretty good. So I'd love to think that this could be good, but I don't see it.
I don't see it either. Like, to me, it's been interesting so far to try and determine exactly where the SEC is, because I think, quite frankly, there are two teams in the SEC that are just so much better than everybody else this year that it's going to be an interesting year with kind of that next year. Now, that's not a new conversation with Alabama, but, I mean, Florida just got to the SEC title game last year, and there are some that believe maybe they could be a challenger to Georgia in the East this year. Based on what I've seen early, I don't see it. I don't see them challenging Georgia this year.
Here's one for you.
Okay.
There's a better chance that Tennessee creates a close game against Florida next week than there is that Florida creates a close game against Alabama this week. Put me down for a called shot.
I like that shot, Joe.
Thank you. Put me down. And I know some Tennessee fans are going to be mad because it's like, don't you dare bring up any hope right now. But I believe it. I think Tennessee's offense could go in there. Everything's got to, you know, operate well.
Sure.
You got to, you know, hit a wide open receivers when they're wide open. But I think they could go in there and create a shootout kind of game. And I don't know what Florida's going to get done this week.
Well, and who's going to be at quarterback for Florida too? Because, quite frankly, I don't think Emory Jones is very good.
Yeah.
Like, I've not been very impressed with Emory Jones. I get Anthony Richardson is younger, and he got hurt last game, so we'll see what his status is for this game. But to me, like, Richardson has been pretty significantly better based on what I've seen so far out of Florida. Like,
I'd go with the young guy.
Yeah, I probably would too.
And again, so I think that's probably beneficial. It's probably the way to go, because I agree with you. I think Emory Jones has been a good changeup guy. Just I don't think that he's good enough to lead a supposed SEC contender, but you're going to have growing pains if you do that too.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have some rough patch. I mean, it's just Dan Mullen does a great job with quarterback development, does a great job when expectations are low, but no coach can completely avoid those rebuilding moments. And it just looks like that for Florida right now.
He's already getting a little snarky with some of these quarterback questions down there in Florida.
Oh, yeah?
I can't imagine Dan Mullen being snarky.
Yeah, so out of character. What'd he say? Did he say something good?
Not really.
Okay. Just getting a little chippy?
Just getting a little chippy. Shane from Ashland City on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mercer did put 14 on Alabama. I'll definitely be hammering the over on the game, but no way Florida wins. The scary part is Bama versus Miami and Bama versus Mercer was two completely different showings, so it's hard to judge.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry, man, but it's if you're Alabama and you're playing Mercer, I don't care what you do. I don't care if Nick Saban uses shock therapy. You're going to not be motivated to play the stupid game. What did Miami do offensively? How many points did they end up with? I mean, it was 24. 13. Yeah. I mean, it was 24. I mean, again, you're talking about Derek King. He's a pretty good quarterback. They got some skill on offense. Like, they've got some ability. They're going to score some points on people in the ACC. They couldn't sniff a first down when Alabama was engaged and it was still, quote-unquote, a game in the first half. I don't buy it at all.
Miami finished with 266 total yards in that game.
And it was garbage time for about 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So it was, okay, get these guys off the field, as Ubben tweeted. Get in the next wave of five stars with slightly less experience. Yes. But I think that's the thing about Alabama this year to me. And we'll see. I mean, injuries have just been devastating, really, for Alabama defensively in recent years, and it hasn't mattered, by the way. But I think this is the best defensive Alabama team in a while.
I'm going to throw something out at you that could be an example of the overreaction that we talked about earlier with the Titans. The University of Kentucky, the biggest threat to Georgia in the SEC East.
Yes.
You buying that? Not the whole SEC, the SEC East.
Yeah, I got you. I might be buying that.
They looked pretty good the other night.
I might be looking at some interesting Catter days.
Will Levis, Catter day, baby.
Now the defense almost, kind of messing around in that game.
But it was almost like a shock to my system to watch Kentucky be able to adequately throw a forward pass. Like, I watched that game. I watched a lot of that game on Saturday. Will Levis, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
And he was slinging that ball around. And as we know, Kentucky's not been able to throw the ball very much the last few years.
I've said
a wide receiver at quarterback.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been actually amazing that they've had the success they've had with that limitation, kind of an important part of the game, especially today. You know, I've said some nice things about James Franklin today. Boy, I got to think James Franklin watches Will Levis and looks at Peter Clifford and,
yep.
I don't know, man. I think he let one get away there. But, yeah, I think when's Kentucky, Florida's usually early. Is that coming up soon? Is that an early one again this year? They usually play early. Right? I mean, it's usually one of the first SEC games.
Yeah. It's on October the 2nd.
Okay.
So right after Tennessee.
And then after that, they play LSU at home.
Wow. I think I could buy it at this point.
Can you
buy
it?
Very early. I like Dan Mullen, and Dan Mullen gets things figured out. So it's going to be close, but I think I thought it was clearly Georgia, Florida, then a little gap, and I don't think that anymore.
Shane texting in, do y'all think Arkansas is legit this year or is Texas just horrible?
We did not mention
that earlier this week. Arkansas smoking Texas. I watched a lot of that game too. It was not close.
Welcome to the SEC. You sure about this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, first of all, obviously people were like impressed with Sark week one.
Yeah.
And what they did against a legit Louisiana team, and then that happens. Tell you what, it's a great question on Arkansas. I think Sam Pittman's done a really good job. I think he's done a really, really good job in a short period of time. I was stunned. Think about how awful Arkansas was before. I mean, awful.
Terrible.
And immediately last year with Felipe Franks at quarterback. But you know what? Offensive line coach.
Look, Felipe Franks tore up the Titans in the preseason on one play. He's a good player.
He did. And again, talk about a guy who can throw the ball 100 yards in the air. Just hard to make, complete the 12-yard out. But KJ Jefferson, exciting player for them. And again, they just ran all over them and out-physicaled them and punched them in the mouth and did it again. I mean, are they for real? I think they're a for real, like, 7-8 win kind of team, which is, again, very good. Like, are they a contender in the West? Well, no. It's the freaking SEC West. You know, that's the problem for Arkansas. But I think that they're a good team, and I think it's pretty incredible to think about how far they've come in a short period of time. This goes to show you. Sometimes, you know, Dabo wasn't a coordinator. Sam Pittman, O-line coach. Sometimes the head coach hired does not have to be a coordinator, and you can have success.
Got a texter that says, go Big Blue. It'll be close with Georgia. Look, I said it. I buy that maybe Kentucky's the biggest threat to Georgia in the SEC East. I still don't think they're that much of a threat to Georgia. I think Georgia's going to run away with this in the East this year.
I need to see, like, Georgia's D against anybody, any great offense, because I feel like that's a special D. You know, by the way, JT Daniels is hurt last week, and Stetson Bennett goes 10 for 12 for 288 and 5. 10 for 12, 288 yards and 5 touchdowns. Did he just throw bombs against UAB? But no, I'm with you. Georgia is a different level still. Sorry. Sorry, Catterday.
No, I don't think we have really much shot against Georgia, but a strong second.
Where is that game this year, by the way?
I think it's in Athens.
Yeah.
But don't quote me on that.
Eric in Bellevue texting in, called shot. The Gators win 42-35 against Alabama. Hashtag Gator Nation.
This Whoa. Is who?
Eric in Bellevue.
Eric in Bellevue. All right, Eric. I'll keep that in mind.
That would classify as a called shot. I know Call Your Shot Friday is tomorrow, but we'll go ahead and put that one on the list.
I was shocked by Oregon without their best player, like a first-round pick, Thibodeau, going into Ohio State and just manhandling Ohio State. They really did.
Yeah.
And listen, I was focused on the Pitt-Tennessee game from the press box, but I had my phone going, and I kept saying, what am I looking at here? But how much more of a shock would Florida beating Alabama be?
I mean, it sounds like, look, Florida's like the number 11 team in the country. So it sounds, I know, I know.
Well, Georgia was number 12.
I know. I'm just saying.
It's like the sport. I mean, whenever one of those teams in the top tier, which is like two levels ahead of everybody else, loses, I don't care if that team's ranked number 5 in the country. It's still like, how did that possibly happen?
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. NFL fans, don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from Corner Pub in Cool Springs this Sunday. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Join them from 1 to 3 p.m. live at Corner Pub in Cool Springs at 9200 Carruthers Parkway prior to the Titans taking on the Seattle Seahawks. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, recently, Vols quarterback Brian Maurer made some cryptic tweets about the truth coming out eventually. Do you have any idea what he's talking about? I also think Alabama blows the doors off Florida, would leave to Tennessee walking in and hanging tough and losing by 3. So the old maybe Alabama beating you twice on the schedule sneaking up there. If Alabama destroys Florida, maybe that helps Tennessee the next week. I think you can look at that a couple of different ways.
Yeah, well, look. Physically, just physically, you expect Florida to probably be beat up pretty well. And they're going to have some kind of emotional letdown. That's the thing. Usually Florida goes into the Tennessee game, I would say usually off.
Fired up.
Well, no, but off like a weaker opponent.
Yeah.
Right? So, okay. So I'm starting to buy it. We can already start getting the hype rolling for next week.
That's
about
right.
How Florida-Tennessee is going to be a legendary episode of the rivalry. Probably not. There you go.
Joe, you just had an accent when you said that.
Probably not. I love the not. It's kind of like a little bit Midwestern, you know? Chicago.
Heidi from Dixon texting in. The Vols need to lose a few games so that the sanctions aren't as bad for Joe's sake. So for your sake, the Vols need to lose a few games so the sanctions aren't as bad. Somehow reflecting back to you. This from Heidi in Dixon.
Is this like some bet I don't remember?
I don't know.
Explain yourself, Heidi. We've had some very cryptic messages for us lately.
We have.
Lauryn Hill, 49, doo-wop that thing. Great song.
Thank you.
By the way, number one song should be Under the Milky Way by The Church. It probably won't be. It probably won't even be on the top 500, but it should be. That's the best song ever.
I said 8:45 you'd get to the end of the Rolling Stones list of the top 500 songs, and here we are at 9:21.
I'm in the top 50. I'm in the home stretch.
Are you going to be there by the end of the show?
Yes.
That's the challenge.
Yeah, I've got to focus. I got to divide my focus between you and.
I played Jolene for you.
Yes,
Jolene, number 63, great jam. There's a lot of Johnny Cash and Dolly Parton on this list, by the way. Love both those artists, which means you can't say that I don't like country music.
That's right. Alan from Nashville texting in. Chad Morris was a fraud. What he did to Arkansas was criminal. That's coming from Alan in Nashville.
That was wild, right? Boy, that definitely did not work out very well.
Not go at all.
Well, but I'll say this. What do you got?
Heidi's explanation was it was a pedicure dream that she had. Needing to lose a few games for the Vols so the sanctions aren't as bad. Somehow it's to do with Heidi's pedicure dream about you.
That's what when she said sanctions, I'm like, wait, is this? Do we have some kind of a pedicure bet on the Vols?
I don't think so.
What is happening?
You know about the whole bet with the pedicure, right?
No.
Okay. Well, it's
a story for another day.
Between that and the Rolling Stone Top 100, we probably don't have time today. But, yeah, it's at some point we are going to meet Heidi and people are going to get pedicures. That is going to happen. And it almost happened already, but it's going to happen.
It did. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com. Cody texting in, who also goes by LeGoat James. Nice victory over Rex Road in week one.
Yep. Talk your trash.
Alabama has beat a Miami quarterback who is wildly overrated with a quarterback off an ACL and Mercer. I don't understand the love from Rex Road. Florida beats Alabama this weekend. We don't understand the love of Alabama.
Where is this coming from?
I do not understand the love of the most dominant college football program over the past decade plus that we've ever seen in the history of the sport.
What evidence do you have that Alabama might destroy Florida Saturday? Listen, LeGoat, I had an increased respect for you after you kicked my butt in fantasy football.
That's correct.
And now you have squandered all of it. But honestly, for LeGoat and anybody saying that Florida is going to hang in this game, if you're right, I tip my cap. I hope you're right. I'd love to see it. I do think the Swamp will be rocking. It will be fun. And I'm not saying Alabama is the most unbeatable football team ever. They are very young at very key positions.
They are.
But, yeah, man. You can say, like, oh, yeah, Derek King coming off an ACL. Look, Miami is, a legit top 20 kind of team. They've got some guys. They've actually built up a pretty good program. I'm not saying they're coming back to being the U as we know the U, but they're pretty good, and that was child's play. It was child's play. Like, not just that King, he wasn't very good in that game, but, I mean, like, the whole, just that the line of scrimmage.
The game was over by the second series.
I mean, again, the thing that we don't talk enough about with Alabama is the offensive line. It's just, even last year, for all the incredible dazzling skill all over the place, this is why, honestly, I just wasn't sure. I'm like, the guy has a clean pocket for as many seconds as he wants, a clean pocket. They are just dominant up front. But anyway, hey, I hope you're right. I will eat crow Monday if we come back here and it was even close.
Nate on Twitter says, at least I said Florida would cover. But to outright win, come on. Yeah. Nate did say Florida would cover. 14.5. It's an interesting line. It's not as ridiculous as the Miami line at 18.5 that I mentioned earlier this year. Still probably going to take Alabama. -14.5 would be my guess.
And so here's the thing. If Florida covers because, they're down 20 and then they get a late TD, then that to me is still like that's about what you expected. Now, if they cover because it's actually a close game all the way into the fourth quarter and it's like a one-score kind of game, man, kudos to Florida.
I'm trying to find a line on the FanDuel Sportsbook for Tennessee, Tennessee Tech. I'm not finding one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe it's the QB uncertainty?
Could be. Right now, Vanderbilt, 12.5-point dogs against Stanford.
I believe that's gone up, right?
I believe it has.
Which makes sense. I mean, based on the way Stanford played against USC.
Looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Sean texting in, I would totally get a pedicure with Joe, if only to bask in the presence of all things Rexy. Sean has had some interesting text messages to you over the course of the past couple of weeks.
Sean, yeah.
Sean loves Rexy.
Who doesn't?
Look, you know, I many admirers, been very used to it, so, but, you know, being beautiful is hard. I mean,
it's
a tough job.
Chris in Nashville texting in, Joe, I've seen the church perform that song at the Boathouse in Norfolk, Virginia. Great show, circa 1990.
Holy crap, who is this?
Chris in Nashville.
Man. And, you know, I have some friends who have seen bands like Living Color at the Boathouse. I always wanted to see someone play the Boathouse. Never did. That's awesome. The church, man, that's a jam. Joy Division, Level Terrace Part 41, I figured that'd be high. Outcast Bombs Over Baghdad, 39.
So we're getting close.
When Doves Cry, 40. When Doves Cry, 37.
When Doves Cry, 40, 37? That's good stuff.
Seven Nation Army, 36.
Really? Okay.
I mean, it's all over the map.
It's all over the place.
Never heard of any of them.
Yeah, oh, you boy. Have. You never heard of When Doves Cry by Prince?
Prince?
I don't believe you.
You'd know it if you heard it.
Maybe if I heard it.
Maybe that's something we can come back to break with
next
time.
Do you feel old now?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes, I do.
Well, I think we have three tiers of age on this show now.
We do. But you keep getting older by the day.
You're an old millennial.
That's correct. We'll get back into the Titans when we come back. Take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Tune in to Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds take on Gwinnett, the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. The pregame show with Jeff Hem starts at 5:50 and first pitch is at 6:05. Nashville Sounds Baseball presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
So you've never heard this song?
I can't say I have.
That's incredible. Okay, so we keep adding to the list of things. So the whole album Purple Rain, first of all, must have. Listen, the whole thing. It's genius. It's an incredible work of art. Number 18, by the way, is the actual title track from that, Purple Rain. And I would add that to the movie list. There's parts of that. Have you seen the movie?
Yeah.
I mean, there's parts of that movie that are, yeah, it's not great. The acting, not great.
It's not good.
But the live performance parts of it make it totally – like, watch that movie in stereo. Unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, the movie versus the performance. But the performances make it worthwhile.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi from Dixon texting back in. Back off, Sean. Joe's toes are mine to beautify. So now what we have on the text line is a fight over your feet as to who gets to touch them and do pedicures.
Who knew that?
I didn't know this was going to happen today.
Who knew the text line would turn into foot fetish stalkers going at it, you know? I mean, you just never know what might happen.
I thought it was
on the text
getting
line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What?
I thought it was getting pedicures, not getting
Well, we've...
apparently, Heidi wants
taking the next step.
Actually, I did not know Heidi...
Administer the pedicure?
Actually giving the pedicure.
Yeah.
I hope Ryan Porth is listening.
Can
and
really
by the way,
fun.
And thank you, by the way, it's Sean Clifford. Why did I think it was Peter Clifford? I don't know.
I don't know.
Peter Clifford is an early 2000s Michigan State offensive lineman. Hope he's doing well. Sorry, Peter. Sorry, Sean. It's Sean Clifford. Not as good as Will Levis. That's the bottom line. And nice, like Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Best show ever as a kid.
Thank you.
Yeah, you love that one?
Loved it.
That's cool. I can see that.
Chase McCabe texting in, I picked Kentucky to finish second in the SEC East at Media Days. I believe in Stoops.
Yeah.
Chase McCabe saw this coming before everybody else.
There he is. Drop the mic, Chaser. No, that's good. That's a good call. I actually had a lot of belief in Florida, and maybe I'm overreacting right now in losing a lot of it, but I don't like what I'm seeing so far.
I don't either. Things Titans fans did not like to see yesterday, Bud Dupree on the injury report for the Titans. He did not practice yesterday, listed with a knee injury. on the injury report. Now, we'll see what happens today and what that looks like for Bud Dupree, whether it's just rest and him getting back on the field. My initial reaction to seeing Bud Dupree on the injury report, Joe, I wouldn't panic yet if I'm a Titans fan. If he's not out there today, then I think you can start to be concerned about Bud Dupree.
Yeah, I think you're probably naturally going to see some days for him. And so it would make sense. Again, like last week, A.J. Brown just missed Wednesday. A.J. Brown's out there Thursday. He's full go. He's out there full go Sunday. Yesterday, he's limited. And I think you're going to see that as a routine. I guess it's with Bud Dupree, you could compare it to Taylor Lewan if you want. You know, Taylor Lewan also coming off an ACL. He did have, his injury was earlier. His clock started earlier, but he's coming off an ACL and a game in which he looked like a guy maybe coming off an ACL. So maybe he should get a day. You know, he's full go, and Bud Dupree is no participation and knee. Today is going to be very important. I would guess right now that it's not a reason to panic or freak out. But yeah, if he's out today, that means that he's missing the two most important practices, the two real practices that you have in a game week to prepare for a game in which he would be very important. I mean, he's very important to this season that he gives this team pass rush.
Well, and A.J. Brown back on the injury report as well, limited participant yesterday with a knee. It just kind of feels like maybe Wednesday is going to be a day with A.J. Brown that maybe he takes it easy a little bit throughout the season, which as long as he's healthy and available to play, I guess you're okay with that if you're a Titans fan. He looked fine in limited opportunities on Sunday, so I wouldn't worry too much about A.J. Brown either. Just kind of feels like this is the route they're going to take with him this year.
Yeah, and by the way, on the Julio Jones front, this is the second game week in a row. Hasn't been on the injury list. Has been full participant in practice. So Julio Jones is practicing.
That is correct. Anthony Firkser on the injury report yesterday with a knee injury, a limited participant at practice. He's a guy that at that position with how thin it is, they can't really afford to lose a guy like Anthony Firkser. So going to be playing some pretty close attention the rest of this week to Anthony Firkser. Obviously, he was on the field yesterday, so a limited participant, but it's important that he's healthy and able to go for the Titans as they move forward here. They don't have a whole lot of luxury of tight ends missing time in this offense.
No, and I do think that you saw a little bit in the first game. You know, I think Firkser is still, I mean, he's still more a situational player than he is an all-around tight end, which it's not a big surprise, but there was just so much talk.
Top-flight tight end.
Well, but also just about, like, him as a blocker. And, I don't know, from what we saw in the first game, I still think, for the most part, I mean, he's sort of like a super slot receiver, you know. But you got to utilize him. I mean, actually, before everything went wrong up front and all the offensive series went from one disaster to the next, that first third down, he's running free on a drag route, and Tannehill almost throws a pick going to Chester Rogers. But other than that, I mean, it just weren't that many opportunities for anybody downfield because of what was happening up front.
Matt texting in, how long do y'all think it's going to take for the Titans to get it together? Well, hopefully. They're starting to get it together right now. I think it's certainly fair to say it was not together last week. It needs to look a whole lot better. And, you know, the obvious talking point there is the blocking and the line of scrimmage. You got to be better on the offensive side of the ball there. But there was really no facet of the game against Arizona where they looked together and looked in sync. And Brable talked about that after the game. He said it looked like basically three independent units out there, and there was no complimentary football whatsoever. That needs to get better, regardless of what the final outcome, whether it's a win or loss, ends up being against Seattle. You need to start to be able to look like you know what you're doing out there, and they had no clue what they were doing, at least look like it, on Sunday against Arizona.
Yeah, my short answer would be they could look totally different this week. I mean, the offensive line has been together for a long time. Even Quessenberry has been on the team. Yep. He's been at different spots. You have to individually play better. You know, this has to be a big week for like Ben Jones, not just Taylor Lewan, Ben Jones and Nate Davis too, to get in better shape, to get up to speed. But those guys have played a lot of good football together, that offensive line. You can't. I don't buy that last week means that it's going to take them a month to figure it out. I think that they could figure it out quickly. And then, you have to win at times it's just you and your guy. And it just way too many times in the first week it went the wrong way for them.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Dennis texting in. It's time to sign Delaney, Kenny Vaccaro, and Steven Goskowski. Little smiley face at the end of that one, too.
Get Jarrell Casey to unretire.
Of those three, I mean, we've talked about seriously considering two of them. Kenny Vaccaro, Steven Goskowski. Doesn't look like either one of those are going to happen at this point, but it is interesting to me. And did we miss this last year? Like, Kenny Vaccaro wasn't good last year, but name me three people on the Titans defense last year that were good. Like, are you? I'm surprised that he's not somewhere at this point. He's only 30.
I am too. I think the feeling with Vaccaro and Butler, those two guys in particular, is that they both lost something off their fastball last year. And this happens easily in this league. And it's not like Butler was ever a speed guy anyway, but it was a bigger problem. And again, Butler was like easily their best corner last year, by the way.
By far.
He had his bad moments too, but at least he had some good moments. Yeah, Vaccaro, I mean, you saw the difference last year. I believe you did. I think you saw the difference between Vaccaro last year and Vaccaro the year before. But then now you get into the whole, you're a safety on a defense that can't rush the passer, that's deficient at cornerback, so you're going to be exposed more often.
But, like, there's no one in the league that can use the services of Kenny Vaccaro?
I think, yeah, it's a good point, good question, and I think it probably helps answer the question I brought up when Hooker got put on IR. Like, is he interesting? Apparently no. For, again, is it just that he's physically, he's gone down that much? Or I don't know. It's not like he was, I think he was making, what, $4 million, right? I think his deal was for $4 million.
Yeah.
I mean, someone, would he not come out right now and play for two?
Would you play for less than that?
Or less.
Yeah.
But maybe not.
I don't know.
I mean, you know, we're seeing guys who also are like, you know what? I think I'm done bashing my head against people.
Yeah. Jim on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This pedicure talk brings new meaning to the agony of defeat. Well done, Jim.
Nice. Nice.
Very nicely done.
Beatles 15, I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Oh, God.
Well, and I agree. Like, it's my least favorite Beatles song. But I figured that the top of the list would be like the super, super, you know, popular songs that in a lot of cases people actually are sick of.
We'll get a full update on Rex Rhodes' top 500 songs of all time list that he's been reading off all show coming up next. Continue to take your thoughts on the Titans as well. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game this Monday at Jonathan's Grill in Mount Juliet, 613 South Mount Juliet Road, for Monday Night Football. Grab some game swag, and we'll have your chance to win tickets to an upcoming Vanderbilt football game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit ballstatebank.com to learn more about their free Kasasa checking account. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a lot of texts on the text line about the mistake of letting Dennis Kelly go. Joe, do you see, after week one, a glaring weakness of not having Dennis Kelly there? And remember, well, Dennis Kelly, the starting right tackle last year.
Right. Well, I guess that's not what where the problem was. Like, Dennis Kelly, here or not, doesn't help Taylor Lewan Sunday.
Correct. Right?
So
now
we'll see. I mean, look, if they can't figure out a decent right tackle, which I actually think David Questenberry might be, by the way, he might be right around the territory of what Kelly was last year, well, then I don't think it's that big of a deal. And again, with Kelly also, where was he going? He was definitely – one thing to remember, and I think people forget, he was hurt a lot last year. Someone texted in, you know, he allowed one sack or whatever. Look, I mean, I thought he was fine last year. He's getting up there in age. He was hurt a lot last year. He's with the Packers now and not playing, correct, for an offensive line that got bludgeoned by the Saints. So, I mean, it's a little bit – I think it's a little bit of an easy reaction there. And he was a great pickup and an absolutely fantastic third tackle when that was his role. I will say, though, that when you spend a second-round pick supposedly to shore up that position and then that guy's not active, that whole position just looks bad right now.
Yeah.
But you might be saved by Questenberry or maybe by Tyson Brailoe if and when he gets healthy.
Lester texting in, last year Butler had his best season as a Titan with 80 tackles and 14 assists. Anything off his fastball came from somewhere else on defense. Who else on the team had that many tackles?
Yeah.
Well, it's not a good thing when the cornerback is leading your team in tackles.
Yeah, and again, if you're judging a corner because he had a ton of tackles, I mean, this gets into the discussion of Logan Ryan's 2019 season with the Titans, which I think was good.
Yes.
I think he was very good. Kevin Byard called it one of the great defensive back seasons he's seen. If you go by the metrics, if you want to go by metrics and all that, he was not good. And I will say that when Logan Ryan was forced outside because of injuries, it was at times not good. This is what I heard internally on Malcolm Butler in particular. Not on Vaccaro, but on Butler in particular. They thought that he slowed down significantly last year in terms of just his speed. And I'm sorry, but that position is a speed position.
Yep.
I think Malcolm Butler was good last year. Like Allen Robinson, he did a great job. Now, certain matchups, he was outstanding. Overall, he was a good player for them, but speed is the reason. I mean, they are absolutely faster right now at corner. It's not everything to the position.
Now, you couldn't see it on Sunday with Janoris Jenkins, but yes.
Right. Yeah, when you fall down, you're not very fast. But that is the reasoning. And, again, also, Malcolm Butler had a pretty big cap hit, so there's that too.
There's that.
Now, that's not as big with, like, Dennis Kelly. I mean, I think you can make the case that they should have looked at him. I mean, Mykole Pruitt, I was surprised, let him go. Now he's back. But that's not happening with Dennis Kelly.
Apparently not happening with Kenny Vaccaro either. We are going to see what looks like the first game of the Randy Bullock era at kicker for Titans on Sunday. Looking forward to that. New kicker by week two. Really going to be great.
Yeah, the
former teammate of in college of Ryan Tannehill, by the way.
Yeah, Tannehill said yesterday, he's like, walked in the calf, and hey, there's Randy. So
Tannehill used to hold for him.
That's right. I thought that the top songs was Freezing on Me. Gimme Shelter 13 is great. Superstition 12. Do I say the whole thing?
Joe, I played one when we came into break, and you didn't have your headphones on.
If they don't have the church on here, I'm going to be really mad. See? Like, Smells Like Teen Spirit, okay? I'm not surprised it's high. But it's like, okay, I've got like 20 Nirvana songs. You know, it's fine. Sure. If you're a fan of a, okay. Do I say what number one is?
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those that you would expect to be high. Oh, you already looked? Nice. I mean, hey, come on. It's a great song.
It's a great song.
It's a great song. Aretha Franklin, respect. You know. I do like that Public Enemy Fight the Power is number two. But
number one song of all time?
Well,
I mean, it's so subjective when you make a list like this.
Exactly. Even trying to do this. Like, they did the 500 albums, and even that is impossible, right?
Yeah.
You seem very disappointed in that, Joe.
In what?
Number one.
Oh, no, I love that song.
Oh.
I'm not disappointed in that song at all. But again,
you just put in a lot of work on this list today, though. I mean, this was an hours-long process for you.
But I knew it was going to be something that was a hugely, hugely popular.
Correct.
Like, you know, Dylan's up there, like a Rolling Stone. You know, I mean,
any Beatles in the top 10?
There actually are not any Beatles in the top 10, so that'll make. Oh, no, no.
I was just checking.
Their top Beatles song, number 7, Strawberry Fields Forever. Okay. Great song. Great album. Magical Mystery Tour. There's about 40 Beatles songs I like more, maybe 50, but.
Maybe 50.
That's still a great song because that's how great they were. They had dozens and dozens and dozens of incredible songs.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, pet peeve of mine, if you had an ACL surgery in the first few games back, why don't you wear a knee brace for added support or confidence? Maybe they don't need it.
I mean, I think that's, I mean, we're talking about professional athletes with not just a doctor, but like a team of medical professionals who advise them. So that I'd go with that.
Logan texting in, the Titans should just play Madden out there and not waste their time kicking. So just, we don't need any field goals this week. Go for it on fourth down, no extra points. There are coaches in high school that employ that strategy.
I will say, yes, there are. If you're down, if you're Mike Vrabel and you're down like 17 points or something, like multiple scores, and you're facing a long field goal, and it's like fourth and one.
Maybe go for it.
I'd think about going.
Yeah.
And especially if you've just seen that kicker.
Shankopotamus one to the left.
Just completely hook one on an extra point. Maybe a little bit of go for it in that situation.
Although Randy Bullock, I mean, he looks like, if something got loose on kickoff return, Randy Bullock looks like he could lay the wood to somebody, man.
Randy Bullock would have broken Devin White's tackle.
Yes, he would have.
He'd have blown through that double tackle,
reverse,
man.
Stop getting the ball in Brett Kern's hand. Let Randy Bullock running around a little bit.
You know, if they ran that play with Randy Bullock and Brett Kern on the field, like Randy Bullock could have been like the lead blocker for Brett Kern.
And Devin White would have just been disposed of in front of him.
Exactly. But by the way, specifically, we're talking earlier this week about the Chandler Jones first strip sack. And I asked Tannehill about this yesterday because, it's like, were you in something that you should have been in or whatever? But on the film, he never did that.
Yeah.
So that happens sometimes. You see something on the film, and so you act accordingly based on what you expect, and then the player freelances and blows you up.
It's got to be a great feeling as a quarterback to go through that fake and turn around, and you're staring eye to eye with Chandler Jones.
Just blasted.
Just got destroyed.
And Chandler Jones will never have a freer shot at a quarterback.
Oh, man.
No, any more foot weirdness on the text line?
No more
today?
Foot weirdness on the text line, thank God. Maybe some of that tomorrow.
We can get back at it tomorrow, Heidi. I'm going to send you some various colors that I'd like my toenails.
I didn't know where you were going with that. Okay.
I'm not going to send you pictures of my feet. That's weird.
That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Call Your Shot Friday coming up tomorrow morning here on the show. Darren Donica Chase is next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.